From Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, too.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spittle, like Oliver and Mike.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University. Beers with the Brewers.
Welcome to another week of Beers with the Brewers, the official podcast of the Land Grant Brewing Company. What is going on? I'm Mark Richards. Also this week, Dan Schaefer.
Ahoy.
Adam Benner.
Hello.
And Walt Keys.
How's it going?
Going great. This week we are going back in time to the days of the West Coast IPA. What are you doing here? West Coast, citrus, resinous, and pungent. Can I get a dank in there somewhere?
Mm-hmm. You could probably get that. I don't think anyone would be against that.
So dank.
I've got mine cracked. What about you guys?
Working on it.
There we go. Yeah.
Came prepared. Oh, yeah. Mine is poured already.
Yeah, and a nod to the old school nature of this beer, I'm drinking it in a plain old shaker pint glass. So, a little bit higher ABV on this. It's 7, and when it's a quarter out, it's nice to have an IPA with a little bit more fortitude. 57 IBUs. I wanted to push it a little higher, but I was afraid of scaring the kids. So wanted to try to keep it under 60 for those people who are used to sort of juicy, modern style IPAs. But hops are all old school, sort of using an old school template that I used to use where we do three of whatever hop, in this case Amarillo, then two parts Centennial and one part Cascade with nice dank, grapefruity, orangey type of bitterness coming from the summit. Super dry grist on this. It's just our house two row. A little white wheat to get some nice head retention and some dextrose to dry out the finish. And unfortunately, we didn't bring in a West Coast San Diego strain to ferment this out. We did use our house Kvike strain, I suppose, is the one aspect of this. This is a bit modern, but
Still dried it out pretty well.
Yeah, it. There's. Our Amarillo, we get a bit of apricot and stone fruit out of it. Part of that, it's just when I stuck my head in the bucket with all of the hops in there, it was just sort of all the peels. It's grapefruit, orange, lemon, kind of that pithy bitterness that cleans off on the back, you know, with each sip, sort of brings you back for more. I wish I could come up with another way of saying I'm happy with how this turned out. I'm going to work on that, give myself some homework. But
are you ecstatic? You could be ecstatic.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm amused. It's really cool to have, with the number of IPAs that we put out, to have something like this again is really nice. For, you know, people that love Stiff Arm, that love Greenskeeper, this is like that, a little bit cleaner in terms of no crystal, but still in that same realm of citrus peel, dank, with a nice piney, bitter finish to it.
It's got a nice bracing bitterness, but it doesn't stick around.
No, and a lot of that is type of water chemistry that we have learned about over the years. This is very, very sulfate heavy. In fact, I think I did a little research, and we even used the Green Flash, their recommended water for a West Coast IPA. Another nod to that era.
I really dig this beer. Like Dan said, it's good to kind of return. At times, people really latch on to something. I mean, we've talked about it on the podcast about the bitterness wars, and you kind of lose sight. And I think even when it came to hazy beers and the East Coast style, that people just almost stopped making the West Coast ones for a while. And like, they're definitely, there was a reason why they got popular, and I really have found myself, at least over the past couple of months, like, we were with Lauren's family, my wife's family in Chicago, outside of Chicago, a lot of their hazies that won medals and all that. We got a bunch of those around Christmas, and I find myself leaning more towards, all right, I don't want all the juice right now, even though we're continuing to make them and they serve their purpose. I don't ever like just being exclusive to a certain style. So I'm really happy to be able to kind of lean back into something like this.
While we're going back in time, and maybe for some of our listeners that maybe don't go back that far, maybe they've been drinking IPAs for 5 years and that's what they know, I thought maybe we could get into a little bit on what defines a West Coast style IPA. Kind of go through the history of how this style came about and maybe some of the origins. I mean, I would say going back in time, probably looking at the first use of what would be like the Cascade Hop, Anchor Liberty Ale, kind of brought that out in the 70s, and then Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, and then they had the Celebration Ale that really embraced this style of hop that was grown in the Pacific Northwest on the West Coast.
Right. In terms of the hops, certainly those would be the progenitor of the style. Style-wise, certainly we're still looking at hopping rates that are probably now associated with like lowly hopped pale ales. And also there was still quite a bit of crystal malt being used at the time. Yeah, like Mark pointed out, it wasn't until we started getting to the mid to late 90s that you started to see sort of the signature West Coast style of very, very dry, very, very bitter, piney, aromatic. Certainly Lagunitas drank quite a bit of that. Blind Pig, which I believe that was their anniversary ale, right?
Yeah.
It actually, you know, certainly not a typical double IPA, but over the course of a year, they had oak chips on it, but they just put hops in it continuously over the course of a year. And then, eventually Blind Pig would become, you know, when Vinny Chilurzo moved to Russian River, would become a staple there and sort of a classic IPA. But I think Mark got most of the heavy hitters on here. Ballast Point, Sculpin, Ale Smith IPA, Green Flash, West Coast IPA, Stone IPA, Firestone Walker, Union Jack. From a personal perspective, my brother and I were always huge fans of Green Flash Palate Wrecker,
mm-hmm.
Which it would just destroy your face, but it was delicious.
You gotta like hops, don't you? And you gotta like them early in the boil on that one. That is that is a banger of a beer. Are they still making Palate Wrecker?
I don't know. I sincerely doubt it. I probably mentioned this before in one of our commentaries on the IBU wars, but I remember Mikeller doing a beer called 1,000 IBUs. Yeah, it was undrinkable. it was like drinking hop extract. It was the most bitter. And I guess, you know, that was sort of peak bitterness wars. And after that, everything kind of calmed down and we came back to a place where West Coast IPA has sort of lived since then.
I looked it up. Palate Wrecker is still in production, it seems. It's on the Green Flash website and plenty of recent check-ins on Untappd as well.
Oh, we got to get one.
See if I can hunt that down.
Palate Wrecker Friday is coming right around the corner.
It does say it's a seasonal that drops around March.
So okay.
Keep your eyes out. That'd be a fun one to revisit.
Well, this, what are you doing here? It is surely no Palate Wrecker, but it does have a nice bitterness to it.
Mm-hmm.
How crushable will we say this beer is?
How crushable is it?
Quarantine edition.
4.
Walt says 4.
I don't mind that. I'll go with a 4.
Yeah, 4 crusher. 7%. Yeah. I don't think you want to go any higher than 4. And yeah, I like the bitterness of this. So, I mean, if you didn't care for a super bitter beer, it might be lower for you, but I'd say 4.
I'll jump right in with 4.
Dan? Yeah, 4. Maybe a COVID 5. It's supposed to be cold this weekend. So,
oh, yeah.
I also like how Walt sort of really was torn when he was making that decision. It's kind of like bidding on the prices, right, where he didn't want to go over, but wanted to get as close as possible to the actual answer.
Yeah, I mean, it's always good to not go over.
Yeah, I think definitely a beer that could be a COVID 5, but I'd agree with the 4.
Yeah. Yeah, 4 is the right call. I say so. Unanimous. Ring the bell.
Unanimous 4. This is a fun beer with a name that has a couple levels to it that I don't even remember what the working title was, but the idea of we're doing a West Coast IPA, and Walt sent me a Slack message in our internal, and more in a joking way, a scene from the Saturday Night Live, The Californians, and which is probably one of my favorite recurring sketches, and definitely one of the past 10 or 15 years. And if you haven't seen it, you have to watch it. I think it was more not really serious, but then I just started thinking about it more, and the idea of the sketch, it's a Soap Network TV show, The Californians, and people in California love to talk about how to get places, and I think Walt really captured that in the description. And then at every like cut scene, they're looking at themselves in the mirrors because they're kind of full of themselves, I guess, is the idea. So when we were like, hey, let's do a West Coast, let's throw this back, this would be a good nod, especially the fact that a lot of people aren't really doing these styles right now. So that's where the tagline from the bit, what are you doing here, really fits in. So.
Yeah, I'm definitely a very sporadic SNL viewer. I'm much more the person that will watch the sketches on Sunday when someone tells me that there's one worth watching. And the Californians was one that definitely made the rounds and got a few views on YouTube. And
I had to back catalog it last week. I remembered it once I saw it, but yeah, pretty hilarious.
Yeah, sort of like peak Fred Armisen and Kristen
Wiig.
Yeah.
Bill Hader.
Yeah, at least on SNL.
Bill Hader, yeah.
Yeah. See, I've been slogging through for like the last 20 years or so. So I watch all the crap sketches, so you guys don't have to.
I'm with you, Dan. I think the past few years, when people are like, oh, Saturday Night Live's really fallen off, I'm like, you probably haven't even watched it. It's like people that say the NBA's bad. Like, you probably haven't watched it in
10 years. I always enjoy it when I watch it, but I just don't stay up that late.
Gotta stay up late. That's a big part of it.
You got Peacock or whatever you can watch it on now. We're all advertising for that fledgling TV network, NBC.
Yeah, hopefully they
do all right. That fledgling upstart, they really need a shot in the arm.
Yeah. Well, what's the big news down at the Land Grant Tap Room and Beer Garden? I hear we may have later hours on the horizon.
Yeah, I saw that. I think they're pushing the curfew back to 11 starting this weekend. Hopefully things continue to trend in the right direction and we can sort of get back to normal as we approach summer. But yeah, we're still delivering beer. If you want us to bring you some fresh beer, head over to landgrantbrewing.com, put in an order, subscribe, whatever you want. And if you live in the Columbus area, we'll bring it to your door. If you live in Ohio, we'll gladly ship you some beer.
The week 1 February subscription is going out next week. Got some exciting new stuff coming your way if you're a subscriber.
Yeah. You're looking for the perfect Valentine's Day gift, we've got a great bundle going with our friends Mello, the sort of confectionery fancy marshmallow shop here in Columbus. You can get our just released for pre-order Bay Chocolate Imperial Raspberry Stout with vanilla and lactose that we bottled up just special for Valentine's Day. You can get a bottle of that with some Mello goodies and be all set for Valentine's Day. So if you're looking for a gift for Valentine's Day, go check that out. Doing pre-orders for that, and they'll deliver the week of the 8th.
Now let me ask you, what kind of marshmallow goodies do they have at the fancy marshmallow store?
Well, they have all kinds, but what we're pairing with Bay, what you'll get in this bundle if you choose to do so, I should mention the bottles are available individually, not as part of the bundle as well. But you're going to get a black currant vegan white chocolate strawberry chocolate bar with edible flowers kind of dusted on top of it, and two black and white cookie style heart-shaped marshmallows.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you want to experience that? Yeah, I think the bundle makes sense.
And their stuff, if you're not familiar, their chocolates and their marshmallows and cookies and pastries and everything, like, they look like art. It's unbelievable, this stuff these guys make. So you can get the bundle for $28, or you can get the just standalone bottle of bay for $15. And yeah, free delivery on orders of $40 or more. So yeah, get your orders in. And then obviously next week we got Super Bowl, so you're going to want to order a whole bunch of beer for that probably as well.
Is that this Sunday already?
It's
next Sunday.
It's a week from
the week after. Oh, okay. Okay.
Mark, you know what they say about the black and white cookie, though?
You got to look to the cookie. Yeah.
Look to the cookie, and all our problems will be solved.
Always look to the cookie. That Seinfeld comes into my mind every time I stop at Audino's for donuts on the way to work. I see that black and white cookie. I think James grabbed one time when he popped in.
Yeah, last time I ordered Sammy's bagels, I had them throw in a black and white cookie.
Nice.
Yeah.
Gotta celebrate that episode anytime you can.
Sure.
So next week on the podcast, we got a two-beer episode, Recovery Haze and Dank Costanza.
Oh.
I'm really excited about that one. And I'll have to say that Recovery Haze experimental version, that was a crusher. So I'll be curious to try the final batch.
Spoiler alert on that one. It's going to be a high crushability rating.
High crushability. Yeah, we might have to get a plus one on a six on that one. I mean, at
3.5% plus electrolytes,
seems
practically crushed themselves.
Ugh, stayed awake all night.
No. That's electrolytes, not caffeine, Mark.
I knew I had to do something good for me.
True.
Can run wild drinking the beer.
Drink a six-pack and do wind sprints in your backyard.
My glass is empty. Now I'm going to run. You guys have a great week. Listeners, thanks for listening.
Yeah, tip your bartenders. Tip your delivery drivers.
I sent you home. Get back on San Vicente, take it to the 10, then switch to the 4, 4 and 5, north, and then it's up out to Milan, where you belong.